This episode is brought to you by Slapwoods.
Donnie Houston.
Going down, man. It's the Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. If you're watching and you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button, man. You know what I'm saying? It's free. It don't cost nothing, man. Also, check it out, man. This episode right now is brought to you by Slapwoods. You know what I'm saying? Throw them backwoods away, man. Get you some slapwoods because they slap. You know what I'm saying? Hey, it's going down, man. We got a special guest in the house, man. I'm going to go ahead and say it, man. It's official, man. Young legend for sure. You know what I'm saying? Been putting it down for a minute. Got probably one of the hottest records in the country right now. You know what I'm saying? Which is the first time I done said this on the podcast. I done had a lot of the OGs, you know what I'm saying? But as far as just doing it right now, you know what I'm saying? Got the hottest record, one of the hottest records in the country right now with Thick. You know what I'm saying? What's going down, Chose? Still, man.
I'm here, man. It just, you know, it feel good to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just so used to being an underdog. It feel good for somebody to be like young legend. It just let me know, like, you know, I'm starting to get the approval that the world didn't want to give me, and hard work that made a nigga call me a legend. Not you, but I mean, you know, the niggas you interview, they starting to call me a legend too, and it just feel good to actually hear it, cause that nobody takes that term lightly. You feel me? That's something you got to work for sure.
You were saying, you kind of said something. Do you feel like kind of like the underdog, like people kind of slept on you, and like now you finally starting to get like it just do?
Yeah, like all my role models was underdogs, so you know I definitely feel like an underdog. I mean, Kanye, one of my biggest influences. Big Crit, you know what I'm saying? I'm a fan of the underdog. And over time, my whole structure to how I do things has made me an underdog, because I might see something and I ain't going to be the first to chase it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to, just because everybody got an OnlyFans on me, and I'm going to make one, you feel me? I'm going to do what underdogs do, and I'm going to stay down, and I'm going to find my crack in the dough. I'm going to find my scene that I'm going to be first on, you feel me? So it'd be like that.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about that, man. DJ Chose, you know what I'm saying? Just still sticking with the DJ name, but really going down that artist lane, like taking that serious, you know what I'm saying?
Man, that shit, somebody was just talking to me about that, and it's, to me, it was just too late to change, you feel me? Even though I can out-rap some of these rappers, like, I just was like, fuck it, you know what I'm saying? It ain't too many DJs right now. So it gives me some distinctiveness, you feel me? I could have just been the Chose, Lil Chose, Young Chose, whatever. I could have been anything, you feel me? But I just knew if I stick with that DJ shit, it's distinctive. I mean, if not me, then who? Khaled. You know, Khaled can't rap. Shout out to Khaled. You my role model too.
Yeah. I mean, but how long, like, so when you started out going into your music journey, like, were you trying to be the artist or were you trying to be the DJ? And you know what I'm saying? How did they, were you doing both?
It was artist first. You know, I always was rapping first. What happened was I only started DJing because I couldn't get nobody to play my music. So at some point, it was just like, man, for marketing purposes, let me start learning the art of DJing. And eventually, I got real good at it. So at PV, like, if you meet anybody from PV, they know me as really, really being a good DJ. And then some, it's so bad that a lot of them don't even know they have my songs. Like, I always get chicks that's like, I ain't know you made this, I ain't know you made that. I just thought you was like the guy on the mixtape, and I accidentally got that version of it. And it'd be funny, because it's like, nah, that was my song.
Yeah. So I mean, you were saying, you know, you got into the DJing and really turned up at college, but like, when did you start saying like, all right, I'm finna start messing with this rap? Like, talk about that. Talk about growing up. Cause even then, bro, like, you're not from Houston. You from, is it Brookshire or Brookshire?
Yeah, Brookshire.
Brookshire. Yeah. So talk about that. You know what I'm saying? Just, man, that whole scene, you know what I'm saying?
I was rapping forever. Like, I had been rapping since I was like 13, but what happened was as I started DJing, it just started helping me figure out the ways of music. And you know, we all like to make feel good music, but I began to realize, like, hey, I'm in the club or I'm at these college parties, let me just play and let me make music like this.
That's how I move they crowd.
Yeah, so that's how I began to grow. Plus at the time, shout out to Rogers, but Rogers was like Rodgers is one of them DJs where, you know, he not finna just press play on everything. He like a, he like the gatekeeper. And at the time at PV, he was like one of the biggest, you know what I'm saying, like gatekeepers and just making sure no bullshit slipped through the cracks. So when he wouldn't play my shit, I just got into the point where it was like, all right, well, I need to be a DJ. But the beauty of it is I don't even fault him, because when you grow up, you realize, like, damn, I wouldn't even play my shit back then. That shit was whack. I go listen to my shit, like, Pop That was the only song that was good. And when he got Pop That shit, he just pressed play. So
Pop That was the first one that jumped out for you?
Pop That was officially the first one. Pretty much all of my real hits, like, everybody that I used to kind of feel like, damn, why they doing me like this? They played. They took with opening arms, you feel me? And it just let me know, like, from that point on, like, you know, some people got good ears and they just be trying to make you better. Sometimes, like, as an artist, you really got to listen to the DJ when they say, go work on it. So, to me, some of the gatekeepers in my life, I salute them because they ain't do nothing but make me better. You feel me?
Mm.
Shit, shout out. Yeah. Everybody. Energizer, High C, like, all of the people of my era that went like this at first, like, shit, that made me better. You know what I'm saying? Salute them.
Yeah, talk about, I mean, even just PV and just how important and how crucial, because that's been a hub for a lot of people, you feel me, to come through there, because that community is so strong and so supportive. Like, if it's some hot shit go down in PV, it's going to fuck around and make it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you get some shit popping in PV, you might be all
right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, shit, PV just, like, it's really like the Black Motown. I mean, the college Motown. And it's dope because I got to be like one of the Berry Gordys. You feel me? So for my era at PV, I really made a mark. You know, I really broke some records. I really broke some artists. And that alone, to me, showed me like, all right, it's possible to actually break my own shit now. Like, I don't do this much, but I'm going to take a lot of credit for B-King. Like, I ain't saying I broke him because he became worldwide. But at PV, Texas-wise, I take a lot of credit for that, for real. Because I was the first one to, like, go hammer on, like, Crush and all of the songs. Nobody was supporting at first.
No shit. Okay, yeah. So Beat King, who else are you playing around this time?
Man, I can't, like...
Because Crush, that's when I first started hearing, like June James, I think, and then was kind of coming up with their thing.
Oh, well, shit, yeah, I was definitely breaking L.A.D.
Ray P and all them, you know what I'm saying? All that type of shit.
I was breaking they shit. I was breaking Kirko. Kirko was a little more established, already moving. But, you know, I wish I had, like, a official roster. But, I mean, even with, like, Megan, I was the first one on there.
No shit. How early did you get on Megan?
Man, it's weird, and I don't even want to say on this podcast because I don't want her to kill me, but I had pulled Megan at a party one time. And then I fucked around and pulled or got a number. I think I shot my shot. I don't know if I was just trying to get her to rap on the soul. But pulled her, locked it in, maybe texted once or twice. We text each other. Then, like, some years later, we met through a mutual friend in the studio. And as we met, she came to the crib, like, in the studio, worked with me. We vibing, da-da-da. And as I go to locking her number after the session, like, what the fuck? And she laughed. She's like, nigga, you don't remember me? And I was like, damn.
Hmm. But this is by this time, now she's becoming Megan Thee Stallion meet her again.
She wouldn't even, that's how early I was. Like, I'm talking about freshman year Megan.
But I'm saying when you link back up with her, now she's going into that thing.
When I link back up with her, y'all ain't even have an EP yet.
No,
like,
shit.
Nobody had music. Everybody just heard the YouTube freestyles. Like the freestyles, you wouldn't know. I think she did a freestyle, Shake That Monkey or something. And she was looking for original beats. So that's how we, like, relinked. But when I'm locking her in, at this time, she probably got, like, 10,000 followers or some shit on IG. But I just knew she was a star. And in my mind, I'm like, damn, how I missed, like, a whole 2 years worth of progression. Like, this could have been way quicker if, you know what I'm saying? But I thank God that it came back around full circle, and it was already a good vibe. I'm like, okay, I wasn't tripping. I saw it early, you know what I'm saying? I just I don't know. I must have been busy, but I saw it early for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But even going back to Pop That though, because I mean, this is when I'm DJing at Faces, man, and like playing that record. But then, you know what I'm saying, they come with the French Montana shit. Like, was that, talk about that whole experience, like, for you. Was that like a learning curve for you, like, going through that whole thing? Or, like, how did that whole thing even happen, you know what I'm saying?
See, that French Montana shit was, like, one of them situations that taught me, like, it gave me that vision, like, nigga, you could do this shit. You know what I'm saying?
That, like, you know, you was on the right track.
Right. I was on the right, for sure. It was like one of them things God sent down to show me. Fucked me up, though. Because at this time, we on fire. I just ain't getting no show money at the time. I'm trying to find my way into a show bag. But, you know, when you make a beat in the trailer house on the air mattress, and then the bitch end up on the radio, and then the bitch got a video that get 4 million views, and then somebody come around and make another one just like you, and take your shit off the map, you can either barbecue or mildew, you feel me? And in my case, I was like, you know what, I'm finna barbecue, you feel me? So I just got back to work and continued working. Heard a nigga, you feel me? I seen so many people that swore they loved me switch to that other version. And it's just like, damn, it is what it is. Bigger bag, it had Drake on it, Rick Ross, French Montana, you know. Lil Wayne had the stimulus package, you feel me? But now I'm the stimulus package.
I hear that. I mean, talk about that, because, I mean, like you say, you turned up, man, and not only just going deeper into your artistry, but also, like, getting off records on other artists, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, you got the NBA Young Boys and Kevin Gates, and, like, talk about when you start getting into that type of thing, you know what I'm saying?
So right after that, I'm about to graduate. I'm on tour with Kirko on the Trillers tour. Then I get back. Some shit happened, not with Kirko. Shit kind of take me away from that whole little movement. And after that, I'm like, I got hung dry. Like, I ain't gonna lie, this situation was like weird. I got hung dry. So I tell myself, I ain't getting no money. You feel me? And I'm like, this is what I do full time. Like, I'm a DJ. I just gave up 2 months of my life to be a show DJ. So Houston ain't really calling the book. And I just made, like, maybe like 3 months later of just like no traction on the money, I made a song called Everywhere I Go. So when I made Everywhere I Go, it's a Houston classic forever. I don't care what nobody got to say. I forget I made that song sometime. Like, you know, when I hit them play Southside next to it, I be like, damn, that's me. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to MC Beezy. So after that, I get a call from APG, which is a publishing company. They're like, yeah, we want to publish you. So I go down there, do the deal. I ain't even do the deal. I go down there and I write. That same day, I did 3 records for Gates. All of them made the album. I think 2 of them went platinum. And it just showed me, like, okay. But, you know, of course, you don't make no money as a writer, you know what I'm saying? You don't, a producer, writer, you don't make no money. So, not that year. So when I did it, got added on the album, still broke. I'm wondering what's going on. And my first check hit, it was retarded. It was like, at the time, it was like 10K. You feel me? I'm like,
oh, now I'm seeing some, yeah.
Yeah, I think I got a 10K check. Keep in mind, my beats at the time wasn't nothing but like 3 bands. You know what I'm saying? Them beats I sold was like 3 bands. So I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm just stacking my duffel. I'm up like 6K around this time. I'm excited as a young nigga.
Now let's talk about the Slap Woods, man.
Man, Slap Woods, man. If you haven't tried Slap Woods, you need to try some Slap Woods, man. Get rid of them backwoods and try you some Slap Woods, man. Did you open that pack?
That's why I'm open right there.
Man, I'm gonna show you what they look like, man. If y'all smoke backwoods, that's all cool. But you're gonna do a lot of work and you're gonna waste a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? If you wanna just get straight to it, you need to get you a Slap Wood, man. And they is in stores all around Houston, Florida. Man, I ain't got no nails, boy. This bad. Got some out in California, Oklahoma. What they are is premium cones with a filter on it. So all you gotta do is stuff it. Bam, you take the paper out, you put your tree in there, and you got the perfect wood with a filter, you know what I'm saying? And you got the stuffing stick in it, it's biodegradable, you know what I'm saying? You really can't lose on it, you know what I'm saying? But one thing for sure, it ain't for nobody that only smoke a little bit of weed or something like that, man. You gotta make sure you have enough tree. If you trying to roll a pen joint or something like that, you gonna have to use something else. But if you a big smoker, a big chiefer, slap woods is your friend, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, for sure.
So, that end up transpiring, and I get my first ASCAP check. My ASCAP check, like, I want to say, like, 12 racks, and I realized at that point, this is what I want to do. Like, this is what I'm going to do.
That's what put you in artist mode, for real, for real.
Yeah, well, I wasn't in artist mode. I was in songwriting mode, but I knew if I wanted to be an artist, I needed to take this money from producing and writing to fund my career. That's why you getting the DJ Chose right now, for real. Because I was broke trying to be DJ Chose. And when you broke, man, you can't fund shit. You can't do a damn thing. You feel me? So after them checks started kicking in, they was cool, but I was still trying to get off the air mattress in the trailer house. So I started putting that real work in.
In the trailer, where you living at this time? You in the H in the trailer?
No, I'm still in Brookshire.
No,
like,
shit.
In the trailer, yeah. Like, this shit crazy. Like, I remember my mom moved out. She moved to the north side with her nigga at the time. And our AC in the house cut off. Like, it stopped working. So we in that bitch with fans and AC window units. But you know, them bitches, they ain't cooling off no whole crib. So, nigga, I'm just like, man, I gotta get the fuck out of here. So.
What year is this at this time?
I can't remember the years exactly. I wanna say by 2000, roughly 2013, 14, maybe 15, fuck that, maybe 15, 16. I don't know, it's deep enough, you feel me? So, No Smoke came about because Gates went to jail. So at the time, I'm going in on Gates. I'm making beats for Gates. Gates, Gates. I've seen this first Gates check. I'm like, this Gates check is a fool. This is where I want to be. I want to be producer for Gates. But when he go to jail, I had No Smoke, but I'm like, fuck. My A&R called me like, man, I know you wanted this to go to Gates, but I got this new young kid. He has no budget. It's the craziest story in the world. They like, he has no budget. I know you get $5,000 a beat, but I can't give you that for this. If you're interested, I want the fuck out of this song. I'll do what I can to get it the best looks, and we see where it goes from there. So at the time, I'm finna drop a project, and I'm like, No Smoke was my intro. The beat was, so I'm like, just the beat. You know, I don't want to say too much on the goddamn. So the beat, I'm like, the beat is a beat I'm using for one of my songs. He like, man, I want the beat. I want the beat. I'm like, all right.
So it wasn't No Smoke the song. It was just they wanted the beat.
Yeah.
I'm following you.
Definitely the beat, man. It was the beat. Yeah. They wanted the beat. Yeah. I had my own song. Yeah, it is own song. You feel me? So, with all that being said, I'm like, I don't want to get this beat up because my intro too hard. And something happened to where my light bulb went off like, man, you could be one of these niggas who be dicked out and dick ride your way to the top. I always want to work with the biggest and the most popular artists. Or you could be one of these niggas who the beginning of the popular artists. You feel me? So in my generation, you got these niggas who hella excited to produce for just on, you know, I love you, Drake. I love you, Wayne. I love you. Who the biggest niggas in our culture right now? Give me the niggas that was backing up.
Rick Ross and niggas
Jay-Z,
like
Jay-Z, Rick Ross. You know, you got niggas who in love with that. And of course, Drake was coming up at that time, and I've always wanted to produce with Drake. But even right now, like, we in a world where niggas just so dicked out, they always want to get to the biggest nigga. But I've always, after this moment, I prided myself on fucking with the person and just trying to see the vision and find the artist before they become that person. So I basically sold No Smoke for $1,000, bro. $1,000. But based off the agreement, it was like, I'm gonna sell this beat for $1,000, and if it go gold,
on that back end,
it was like, if it go gold, we're gonna give you $5,000 more, which was even more petty. So in my mind, I'm like, man, I just gave the best beat I ever had for $1,000. And man, when I tell you, all of a sudden, you know, he was already moving. But man, No Smoke just did something different to the game, man. All of a sudden, I'm just seeing it everywhere. You know, it was, the video too was just like a career life-changing moment for him. He, you know, they got the four-wheelers, the dogs. It was just a great video. He always was shooting like some DSLR shit. So when you see this crazy video with Charger hitting donuts, I'm like, yo, this shit crazy. And long story short, that bitch like four times platinum now. And my $1,000 beat turned into $500,000. So I try to tell young niggas all the time, man, you can sleep on your bitch, not me, man. You know what I'm saying? You gotta go find them new niggas and you gotta respect them and put that effort in like they just as big as Ross them was at the time, you feel me? And now, even when the conversation comes up, it's always a comparison. I get it all the time in Houston. It's always who the better producer, who making the most moves. And it's like four, five of us out here right now. But the only thing I can say about me versus all of them is, hey man, y'all niggas the better producers. I'm all around. I'm the best producer. I'm the best A&R. I'm the best songwriter. I'm the best rapper, nigga. I got the best ear, nigga. You know what I'm saying? In the vision. And that ain't, I don't want to say that out my mouth, but that's how I feel, because I don't want to say it like this, because I don't mean it like this, how it's going to come out. But I ain't going to say there wouldn't be, but I was a staple in the NBA Youngboy wave, as far as like, you know, that was the first song the world discovered him off.
That's what I'm saying, to the radio. That took him to the radio, yeah.
Exactly. So, and he's the biggest right now. Like, he's killing everybody. Like, he is what Drake is at this moment. You feel me? For the kids. Megan, I was a staple in the beginning of that. Fredo Bang, I'm a staple in the beginning of this. And between me and you, Fredo on fire, you feel me? Like, all of these new people that the world are going to grow to love and that are gonna be the Drakes and the Nicki Minajs and the 50 Cents of this era, I'm gonna have something to do with. So it's like, niggas be priding off like what another nigga already did, riding the wave, and it's like, hey, I'm in the water punching and making the waves right now. So it just make me feel good, you know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. So, okay, you got Thick. What you got coming up after that, man? Because, I mean, you didn't tow it up with that Thick, man. I mean,
yeah.
How do you follow up with something like, you know what I'm saying, something so huge like that?
Man, it's hard, but it's hard. But I'm a real good musician. But I've learned, when you say how you follow up, I've learned that it's not about the music. Like, the music is like, a good song is like 50%. The other 50 is the marketing. And when it come to me, that 50% is kind of automatic. I just gotta be mentally in the right place, energy, all that shit right, and I'm gonna make a hit. The other 50 is just what I'm gonna do with it. Like, Thick ain't the best song I made. Thick just the most exposed best song I made. And
what do you think is the best song you made that's been out? If it's out.
Best song I made that's out. That's crazy. I ain't got my phone on me. But I got an album called Tripolar. I made this when my mama passed away. So along that album is all kind of best songs. You feel me? Like, I got songs that sound like Thick. I got songs that sound like just heartfelt shit, even with pain. Like, I can write pain better than a lot of people that people love for pain, you feel me? But I just had to learn to stop confusing the world, like, just give them what they want. This is what you want from me, here you go. And then all the other shit, I'm gonna give it to somebody that y'all will receive it from.
That's what it is, man. Well, shit, you got anything before we get up out of here, though?
Hey, man, yeah, I'm finna roll out some singles. Project on the way. And shout out to everybody winning, you know? Shout out to everybody that I've been blessed to be able to help win that's winning. Because right now, you know, that's a lot of publishing and royalty checks coming in.
Yeah. Real quick, because you talk about staying on, you know, kind of ahead of the curve with the artists. Who's the next person to look out for that everybody might not be on like that? Who are you predicting to be like the next, you know what I'm saying, big one?
Man, it's a couple. Let me think of who I'm just extremely fucking with. I think for sure, like, the whole Houston female girl era is crazy. You know, from Kinderman to Kay Kilo, Mona Lea. Mona Leo. I hate name dropping because you end up missing people, and then I'm just not thinking about y'all right now, but I be thinking about y'all when we at the house. As far as guy rappers, I don't even know if I want to begin a name because I'm not thinking about nobody except last night I had a session with Mosa, so he first on my mind, you feel me? But Mosa hard, let me see who else I can alley-oop if anything come to mind real quick. I need to be scrolling Instagram. I'm sorry, y'all. All y'all niggas hot. All y'all women hot. All y'all niggas hot. Don't kid.
Is it one that you like? Is it anybody in particular where you like, man, I love to do this collaboration? You know what I'm saying? Whether it be on the production side, on the artist side, whatever.
Shit. All of them. Every artist. Really, you know what I'm saying? You got that bag, come see me. It's really about that bag right now for me. Like, as far as me.
I hear that. Nigga make $500,000 off one record, man. It's about that money at that point. Yeah.
It's about that bag. And I want my upfront. You know, that shit I did that then, that was like a once in a lifetime thing. Like, nigga got to get that upfront. And it ain't even no. It's about that bag. Like, when you put them points on the board like that and the stats up, say, man, your best investment is investing with me. You feel me? You might change your life giving me what I want. So. That's how I see it.
Yeah, man. So you want to get your social media before we get up out of here?
Yeah, man, y'all can follow me at DJ Chose. And if not at DJ Chose, y'all can go to DJChose.com because that's where all my beats hit. You know what I'm saying? Go spin with me. Let's get it.
That's what it is, man. It's Donnie Houston Podcast. I'm Donnie Houston, DJ Chose. We out.
Donnie Houston.